So let me ask you a question. Are you a Christian or are you a disciple? Which are you? You know, in the West, we have a hard time we separate those two words. We'll say, I'm a Christian, or then we'll say, after you're a Christian for a little bit, then we'll say, okay, now you need to become a disciple of Christ. It's almost like switch and bait. Where in the rest of the world, when you become a Christian, you become a disciple. It's like automatic. It's like Christian and disciple is one word. We don't split it up like we do in the West. In the West, we say the word disciple for just the ones who are very fanatical, right? It's like that's just like a different level of Christianity. But that's not how it is in Scripture. Matter of fact, in the Bible, the word Christian is only used 3 times. The first time it was used in the church at Antioch, and it was used by the people of Antioch because they were making fun of Christians. Because the word Christian means little Christ. But the word disciple is used like 269 times. It's a big difference. Jesus never asked anyone, do you want to become a Christian? He said, come and follow me. You know, in Jesus' day, that he wasn't the only rabbi that was there. There were a lot of rabbis in Jesus' day. There were a lot of people that were following other people, trying to learn from them. And usually a rabbi knew the Torah and had a way of explaining it and would gather a following. So it wasn't unusual to have a rabbi. A rabbi demanded 3 things from its followers. Number one, that you're with him. That you follow me. That you come and you're with me wherever I go so you can learn from me, which is the second thing, so you can become like me. And then the third thing was so that you could do as he did. So when Jesus was saying, come and follow me, he was saying, yeah, come, follow me everywhere I go. When I go to lunch, you're coming with me. When I go to bed, you're staying in the same room where I stay at. Because basically the houses that day, they only had one room and maybe a little closet. He's saying, look, you're going to be with me wherever I go. And I want you to learn from me so you can do as I do. And I want you to follow me, learn as I learn, and become like me. Because that one day, you can teach someone else. Back in 91 or 92, I remember looking at a stat from George Barna. And back then, 30 years ago, it says something like 91% of all Americans identified as Christians. You want to guess what the percentage is in 2023, just a few months ago? 63% of all Americans identify as Christians. But that's not what gets me. When they ask then, how many identify as practicing Christians? Do you know what the number was? Less than 10% of Americans. I don't know how they came up with that, but identify as a practicing Christian. In other words, as a disciple of Christ. So we have a big disconnect between being a Christian and being a disciple, and we shouldn't. This morning we're going to continue, and this is our last one in the series on the I am the statements of Christ. And Jesus said in John 15, we'll look at it in verse 5 in a moment, but he says, I am the true vine. We looked at several I am statements already. We looked at Jesus, there's 7. He says, He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this last statement is just as valid as all the others. He's saying, I am the true vine. We're going to talk about what that means in a moment. Before I do, I want to read you a story. It's kind of a family, a story about marriage, and it's kind of a story about a father as well. I want you to hold on this thought, and then we'll finish it at the end of the message. But it says this. It comes from a news article back on October 19, 2011. A devoted Iowa couple married for 72 years died holding hands in the hospital last week, exactly 1 hour apart. The passing reflected the nature of their marriage, where as a rule, everything was done together. The couple's daughter, Donna Sheets, who was 71 at the time, Gordon Yeager, the father, 94, and his wife, Norma, 90, left their small town of State Center, Iowa, on Wednesday to go into town, but never made it. A car accident sent the couple to the emergency room and ICU with a broken bones and other injuries. But even in the hospital, their concerns were for each other. She was saying her chest was hurting, but she was also saying, what's wrong with Dad? Even laying there like that, she was worried about Dad, said the couple's son, Dennis Yeager, 52. And his back was hurting, and yet he was asking about Mom. When it became clear that their conditions were not improving, the couple was moved into a room together in bed side by side, where they could hold hands. They joined hands, his right hand, her left hand, Sheets said. Gordon Yeager died at 3:38 p.m. Norma Yeager died exactly an hour later. Dad used to say that a woman is always worth waiting for, Dennis Yeager said. Dad waited an hour for her and held the door open. The inseparable couple was engaged and married within 12 hours, in 1939, on the day that Norma Yeager graduated from high school. She graduated from high school on May 26, 1939, at about 10 a.m. And about 10 p.m. that night, she was married to my dad at his sister's house, Sheets said. The vibrant duo had a very, very full life. They worked as a team. They traveled together. They were in the bridge club together. They worked in the Chevrolet dealership, in the creamery, and in other businesses together. They always did everything together, Sheets said. They weren't apart. They just weren't. Dennis Yeager described his father as an outgoing and hyper man who was still working on the roof of his house and sitting cross-legged with no problem at the age of 94. The party didn't start until he showed up, he said. He was outgoing and won, and she supported him by being the giver. She supported Dad in everything, and he wouldn't have been lost without her. Dennis Yeager said, it's strange today to go to his parents' house and see two chairs side by side as they sat and all the time empty. He said, it's in those chairs that his parents cheered on the Arizona sports teams they loved dearly and rarely missed an episode of Wheel and Fortune and The Price is Right. According to their obituary, besides their children, the Yeagers are survived by her sister Virginia Kell, his brother Roger Yeager, as well as 14 grandchildren and 29 great-grandchildren and one great-great-grandchild. Now I want you to hold on to that story. I'm going to finish it at the end because it's really cool. I think you can understand that this couple really loved each other, though. And it just kind of demonstrates the value of marriage. But let's get back to where we're going today. In John 15, verse 1, Jesus said, I am the vine. Jesus is the real deal. He's saying, I am not a vine, I am the vine. And in verse 5, he says, I am the true vine. What he's saying, so there are many rabbis, he says, I am the only one. I am the rabbi. I am the one that you look to. So let's read the passage, verses 1 through 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus tells a small like parable inside as he's teaching about I am the true vine. Let's identify this real quick because I think you can do this because you're educated and smart. So the gardener, what is the gardener's job in this vineyard? To inspect the fruit, right? That's his job, is to inspect the vines and the fruit and the branches, make sure everything is going as planned. What's the job of the vine? The vine with what? It gives nutrients to the branches, right? Its job is to provide nutrients to the branches. What's the job of the branches? To produce fruit, right? So in this parable, it's pretty easy to see. The Father is the gardener who inspects the vineyard and looks to see if the vineyard is producing fruit. Jesus is the vine that's providing nutrients to you and to I, that if we remain in him, we're going to be strengthened by him, right? We're going to grow in our faith. And as we grow, we are the branches, and then we will in turn produce fruit. But now, if I do not remain in him, and I get disconnected from him, then I'm not going to produce the fruit that I want to produce in my life. Right? I've got to stay connected. I'm still trying to get used to our new world that we live in. Just a month ago, we went to streaming at our house. That's a weird thing. I miss DirecTV or cable. You could just like touch the button and the new channel would appear, whichever one you want to surf to. Now with streaming, you're kind of like more onto one channel. But what I don't like about streaming the most is every now and then the screen goes blue and it says no internet connection and little things start spinning. And I'll be right there in the middle of the game and it would just start spinning. And I'm going, what? You've lost connection. How can you lose connection? I told my wife last night, I said, I'm going to have to go back. I just can't handle this much longer. You know, we have to go out there and have to unplug it and then plug it back in and then it finally reconnects again. But it is a lot cheaper. But just like the TV will lose its connection. It will not produce like it should. When we're not connected to Jesus, we lose the potential to produce fruit. We lose our relationship with him, and that's a lot worse than a television. If you're looking at this chapter, you'll realize in chapter 2, we begin with no fruit when we accept Christ. And then we grow until we produce some fruit. And then we grow all the way to verse 16 where we produce a lot of fruit. Now just so you know, growing fruit isn't instantaneously happen in our lives. It takes time being with God. My mom is here today. Her father, my grandfather, had a vineyard in the backyard, a small vineyard. He had these grapes that he grew. He took these fix tile railroad track pole, railroad tiles, and he planted them about, I don't know, five feet apart, and there were six of them, so three here and then three here, and then the vineyard grew on top of that. And we used to love to go there between August and about October because it was full of grapes. And we'd go out there and pick the grapes and we'd eat them and we'd just have a great time with them. The thing that you notice is the ones that stayed connected to the vine got the nutrients that it needed and it produced the grapes. But here's what I've learned about the vineyard and about producing fruit in our lives. Number one, grapes only come from grapevines. There was never a time that we went in the backyard and went up to the vineyard and found apples growing. Not one time. Never did we find oranges growing or bananas growing. The only thing that would grow were grapes that were produced. There's a reason. The fruit that is produced, it reflects where it comes from. The fruit that you and I produce, if we're connected to Jesus, should reflect his character, his actions. The Apostle Paul helps us out by giving us a list. It may not be an exhaustive list, but it's a list of what fruit ought to be produced in our life. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you and I are connected to Jesus, we'll produce that. But you say, how do I get connected to him? By being with him. But you say, oh, I am so busy. How can I be that connected to him? By making him a part of your life. Because here's the truth. We're all connected to something that we're gaining nutrients from. Think about it. Where do you go when you have a moment of a break? Where do you go when the end of the day, when you finally get to sit down in the chair or on the couch? Where do you go during the day when you have that moment where everything just kind of stops and you can kind of just catch your breath? The most popular place people go today is the social media platforms. They go to their phones and they start scrolling. Nothing wrong with that. But what fruit is produced in your life if that is where you run to constantly? Well, more than likely, it's going to be some jealousy as you're scrolling and seeing other people in their perfect lives and their perfect world. There'll be some covetousness. If you see something of a different political preference, there'll probably be some anger that will rise up. Right? They're not going to be the fruits that you want to produce in your life. They will be the fruits that can bring harm. And then, you know, there's a lot of people that when they have a moment's time, they finally get home, they just stream show after show. And what is produced in your life is all you do is stream. There's nothing wrong with that, but what was produced if that's what you do all the time? Things like lust and restlessness and escapism and never being present, right? Some people run to addictions, things to avoid reality. And what is produced in your life? Remember we talked a few weeks ago about desire and satisfaction. That desire is always greater than satisfaction. That you'll desire another drink. You'll desire another pill. But you'll never find full satisfaction. I'm not saying not do those things. Except for the last one. What I am saying is, you may have a little bit more time than you realize. that what if instead of running to our devices, we took a moment and ran to God? We took a moment and prayed. We took a moment and just played some worship music and worshiped Him. We took a moment and clicked on that Bible app and let the scripture just read to us. And by the way, do you realize you can be at two places at one time? You can be driving down the road and worshiping God. You can be driving down the road and hearing the Word of God. You can be on break and having a moment with God that's just as divine as the moment you had in here this morning worshiping Him. There are opportunities, but you got to take advantage of them, because that's what it means when Jesus says, come, follow me. Come be with me. Make me a part of your life, because I am the vine. Connect with me. Draw your strength from me. Instead of drawing your strength from things that produce not healthy fruit, draw your strength from me. So that if I draw my strength from God, over time, I will begin to produce fruit in my life. Because here's the thing that I know. We never went out to the vineyard and heard the grapevine going, and the branches go, and they're trying to produce the fruit to come out. Oh, the grunting, groaning, so that fruit will come off out and we can eat it. No. It happens naturally. Somebody told me the other day, said, Pastor, I'm praying, I'm working on patience for tomorrow. That's my goal. They're going to grunt and groan all day long trying to focus on patience. And more than likely, it's going to get the best of them. Because when you try to do it on your own, it will eat you up. It's like when you try to diet. Right? Man, that Oreo looks so good when you're on a diet. Right? I mean, you just want it. And the same thing happens when you try to focus. Instead, if you focus on Jesus, you'll be surprised how your character will begin to change. And over time, you'll produce the things that God has for you to produce. The love will be present. The joy will be present. The patience, the long-suffering. The second thing that I've always noticed about the vineyard is this, is that fruit can be seen. You can see the fruit. It's evident. If I look at a grapevine in South Carolina in the month of September and there are no grapes, it tells me two things. It tells me that the grapes vine is not healthy, and it tells me that for a healthy grapevine, South Carolina shouldn't have grapes in September. But it also tells me that it's great danger. Or what I'm looking at is not a grapevine, because the branches should have grapes on them. For a follower of Christ, over time, it ought to be evident. There ought to be fruit being produced through you because you're connected to Jesus. There ought to be something that's happening that others begin to see and begin to notice. Why are you different? Why are you unique? Because you're not just a Christian. You are a follower of Christ, and you are connected to Him. And you're producing. Third thing that I've always noticed is that the fruit never benefits the vine or the branches. The fruit is always for someone else to enjoy. Like when we would go and pick the fruits, it was so that we could enjoy. The branches and the vine never enjoyed the grape and the juice of the grapes. We did. When you produce fruit in your life, it's not for you. It's for others to taste and see that God is good. Think about it. When you produce love, who benefits? The person you're loving. When you produce patience, who does it benefit? It benefits the people you live with. When you produce joy, who benefits it? The people around you benefit from it. So when we stay connected to Jesus, it pays off in other people's lives because they see it and they can taste it. Here's what I want you to hear this morning. This passage is not about producing fruit to me as much as it is about being staying connected to Jesus. The purpose is to remain in him. In that short little passage, Jesus will use this word remain 10 times. In the Greek, it's meno. And it means to abide. Some versions, it would give another meaning, to dwell, to be with, to stay put. I like the thought that says to be at home in. So if I am at home in Jesus, then Jesus is at home in me. The reason why I like that is because when you think of the word home, you think of being comfortable with. Because the only people I let in my home are people I'm comfortable with. If someone's living in my home, then they have access to all of me, right? But it's to be with him. It's to allow the fruit to produce. In verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If the branches weren't producing or they were dying, Granddad would cut them off. If they were hanging too low and they were hitting the ground, he would cut them back. And the reason why I say that is because the job of God, the Father, is to watch. Our relationship with him matters. Staying connected with him matters. I think the greatest danger we have in the South is we say, if you say a prayer, everything's okay. Yes, in a way it is, because you're saved by grace, not by works. It's nothing that you can do to earn it. Matter of fact, you do realize you're saved from sin, right? But you're saved to something as well. You're saved to become a follower of Christ. So the thief on the cross, when he was dying, he looked at Jesus. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. He was saved from his sins. And when he got to heaven, he hadn't done one Bible class. He hadn't done one this or that. He just went right into heaven, right in his presence. Because he didn't have time to be saved to. But when you're saved from, you need to be saved to something. If your relationship never goes beyond that prayer and you continue to live on earth, you're no longer connected to the vine. You're not producing fruit in your life. And that's a big deal to God. So my grandfather, he would cut the vine and he would throw it and put it in the back backyard. He had a backyard. He put it in the back backyard and there he would burn it all. And that's what Jesus says the Father will do. So it's really important that you stay connected to Christ. It matters. It matters that you stay connected to him. Remember the story I told you about the Yeagers? Let's finish it. When it became clear that their conditions were not improving, the couple was moved to a room together in bed, side by side, where they could hold hands. They joined hands, right hand, left hand, she said. Gordon Yeager died at 3:38. He was no longer breathing. But the family was surprised by what the monitor showed. Someone in there said, why then, when we look at the monitor, is the heart still beating? Sheets recalled. The nurse said, Dad was picking up Mom's heartbeat through Mom's hand. And we thought, oh my gosh, Mom's heart is beating through Dad, Dennis Yeager said. Norma died exactly an hour later. The point of the story is this. Is that while Norma, still alive, was holding her husband's hand, his heart was still beating through her. Don't know how, that's just wild to me. To follow Christ means that one must die to self. To follow Christ, one must surrender to Christ and say, Jesus, I will follow you. That means there are going to be times, there are going to be days that I'm going to say, I can't watch the game tonight because I haven't had time with God yet. There are going to be times where I'm going to go, man, I haven't really had my relationship with God like it should be lately. I need to put down my device. And in my free moments, I need to restore that relationship with Him. I have to die to what I want to do so that I can enjoy what I really get the privilege to do, which is to be in relationship with Christ. And when I do, I am holding His hand, and His heart begins to beat through me and you when we do that. And so the fruit we begin to produce then becomes His heart. It becomes His love. It becomes His self-control. It becomes His patience beating through us because our desires become His desires. And all of a sudden the fruit we begin to produce becomes His, because He is the vine. When He says, I am, He's saying, I am the true vine. You won't find that with any other relationship, with any other God, only through Jesus Christ.